celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is Susan Sims for Fido Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio, where we talk about the travel and lifestyle for you and your furry best friend. My first guest, Shell Otteson with Springer America, is here to talk with us about bringing Fido along for your bike ride. Hi, Shell, and welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you.
Now, I love riding my bike. In fact, I'm getting so excited for this weather to change out here, and I am a warm weather person. I don't really enjoy doing much out in the cold, and I'm really infatuated with the Springer. So let's talk about where the idea came from for Springer America, and how does the product work?
Yeah, sure. The Springer was invented in Norway in the mid-80s by a gentleman that was really tired of being pulled over off his bike by his German Shepherd, so he knew there had to be a safe way to bike with a dog to get the proper exercise. So they started looking into different opportunities, so the Springer was invented, and the secret to the Springer is this big spring that's low-mounted on the Springer. So when your dog generates a force by pulling hard sideways or forward, up to 90% of that force will be absorbed in the spring, so you can easily maintain control over your bike while you're biking your dog.
That is amazing. I visualize myself, and I have a lab and a boxer, and in my dream, I have them both next to me doing this. But how difficult is it actually to train your dog to use the Springer?
In most cases, it's quite simple. Dogs love to run, so as soon as they get in position where you allow them to run, the ears will go back and they will just run forward. There are some dogs are afraid of the bike itself, and that's a different story. And what we recommend is that you attach your dog to the Springer, to the bike, and you slowly just start walking. You might park the bike, walk around the bike with your dog, so the dog just gets used to it. And very, very quickly, they will be so eager to run that they will ignore the bike and keep running. But, not all dogs are perfect, so there will be one or two cases where the dog is a little hesitant because of the bike and all the noises around the bike. But otherwise, it's a very, very quick learning curve.
Well, is this suitable then for all dogs, or what types of dogs can actually use the Springer?
Just about any dog that likes to run. The Springer was designed for medium-sized and larger dogs initially, but we have learned that more and more dog owners with smaller dogs, the lap dogs, as long as they enjoy running, you can definitely use the Springer for smaller dogs too. So pretty much any dog that likes to run can be used for the Springer.
And do you have to have any kind of special equipment or a special type of bike in order to use the Springer?
I know the Springer will not fit on adult trikes and tricycles, but on about 90% of regular bikes, it will fit. There are some newer models out there that have some funny-looking bike frame shapes, like teardrop shape. Some of them have a lack of frames because of its design, and those can be an issue, but those are very few and rare in between.
Okay, and then the million-dollar question, can you use more than one Springer at the same time?
Yes, that's the beauty of this device. When installing one regular Springer arm, you can have from two to three dogs if you want to. In addition, we do sell a dual Springer arm kit, which has one Springer arm on each side of the bike, where you can have from two to four dogs there too, so you can definitely bike with multiple dogs.
Well, that's my dream. So I think I'm one of your new clients. And where can we purchase the Springer?
We sell the Springer directly to consumers via our website, www.springeramerica.com.
Well, thank you so much. I know I'm hoping that spring is in the air any day. So thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
For more information, log on to SpringerAmerica.com. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk about a product that will help keep your car's interior Fido fur free. So, sit and stay. We'll be right back with more Fido Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio.
Fido Friendly is the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. Each issue includes hotel and destination reviews, along with health and wellness topics, dog training tips, and the latest fashion trends. Pick up a copy at Barnes & Noble, Hastings, or go online to FidoFriendly.com and subscribe today. Fido Friendly is the only magazine dedicated to the travel and lifestyle of man's best friend, and the one magazine your dog will thank you for.
Celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio.
Welcome back. This is Susan Sims with Fido Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio, and this segment is brought to you by our good friends at The Honest Kitchen. Learn more about how dehydrated food compares to kibble, canned, raw, and homemade diets at thehonestkitchen.com. My next guest, Rick Messmore from Covercraft, is here. He's going to talk about their canine covers that are perfect for our road warriors. Hi, Rick, and welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you today? Thanks for having me.
Oh, I'm doing great. It's my pleasure. So what types of pet products can we find on your website, covercraft.com?
The website is actually caninecovers.com that pet owners should go to, and on there you'll find everything to make the dogs travel more comfortable and to protect the interior of the automobile or the SUV or whatever it is that the dog's traveling in.
Okay, so that's caninecovers.com. Is that it? Okay, good. Okay, and of the products that you are showing on caninecovers.com, what would you say is the most popular?
Most popular is the rear seat covers. We offer them in universal, semi-custom, and custom. And the semi-custom and custom are the most popular. They give a very contoured fit. They have a slip-resistant finish on the bottom so it doesn't move around, and the dog is much more comfortable while traveling. And they also have a waterproof barrier and easy to brush up, and they're machine washable as well. And 80% of pet owners travel with their dogs, and canine covers helps protect the interior and make it more comfortable for the dog.
Well, it makes a lot of sense. I know back in the day, gosh, we've been doing this for more years than I can remember, and we would put blankets and sheets and all kinds of things, and we thought we were being very clever and tucking them in, and of course the dogs move around, and by the time you got to your destination, all those things were, you know, crumpled over, or they were using them for their own, you know, little sleep apparatus. So I'm really thrilled that you actually have this, and I was looking at one of these. It's called Pet Pads. Now, that looks like it's really kind of cushy.
Yeah, the pet pad is a quilted. It's more general in shape. It's not as tailored and not as securely anchored as canine covers. A lot of the car manufacturers have switched and are using a lot more leather interiors now for the seat finishes, and those are slippery. If you put a blanket or a sheet on that today, it's going to be moving all over the place. And the canine covers have, like I said, the non-slip bottom on them, and the pet pads are more of just a nylon quilted. They're like the old blankets and the sheets of yesteryear.
Yeah, we're updated and it's some pretty colors. And I know it's
right.
Not all. Go ahead.
No, you're right. They are very colorful, and like I said, they're very generic in shape and size.
So I know it's not all about canine covers on your website, but you have a lot of different products. Can you kind of touch on a few other items that we can find there?
Well, Covercraft's been in business for almost 50 years, and we're focused entirely on the automobile. And we make car covers and seat covers and dash mats and floor mats, and The canine covers program just complements what we do. It's automotive, and we provide protection and comfort for the dogs. But Covercraft is all about protecting the vehicle outside, inside, and that's what we focus on.
And something else that caught my eye when I was on your website is something you call Covers for Causes. What is that about?
Covers for Causes is... We developed that program a couple years ago because Covercraft employees, like people everywhere, some have been touched by the, you know, by the sadness of breast cancer and things like that. And Covers for Causes is a program where we developed a really unique logo, and we put that on the front of custom car covers, and we put it on the front of sunshields. We make custom sunshields for the front windshield. And part of the profits for the sales of those products are sent on to different breast cancer research outfits.
Well, that's really great. And so somebody can, you know, have obviously the utilitarian, you know, practicality of what they purchase, but then it also goes for a good cause. That's really wonderful. Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you for taking the time to talk to me today.
Oh, thank you for the invite.
For more information, log on to caninecovers.com. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we will hear from a company whose products are oh so fresh. So sit and stay. We'll be right back with more Phyto-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio.
Phyto-Friendly is the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. Each issue includes hotel and destination reviews, along with health and wellness topics, dog training tips, and the latest fashion trends. Pick up a copy at Barnes & Noble, Hastings, or go online to phytofriendly.com and subscribe today. Phyto-Friendly is the only magazine dedicated to the travel and lifestyle of man's best friend, and the one magazine your dog will thank you for.
Celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio.
Welcome back. This is Susan Sims with Phyto-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio. And this segment is brought to you by FlipKey, where private pet-friendly homes, apartments, and condos can be found for your next vacation. Simply log on to FlipKey.com. My next guest is John Cascarno. He's with Fresh Dog. Hi, John. Welcome to the show.
Hi. How are you?
I'm doing great. I love your website. When I look at FreshDog.com, I see you have a lot of products. So what was the very first product you introduced to market?
Well, the very first product was a dry shampoo for dogs. A dry shampoo being something you can clean your dog with without needing to give them a always fun and challenging bath.
Well, I like that idea, especially when you travel a lot like we do, and we're in and out of cars and in and out of hotel rooms, and we're on the road quite a bit, and we're not always someplace where it's optimum to give them a bath. So I think that dry shampoo is, you know, really excellent for the travel, for those that travel with their dogs. But what are some of your best sellers?
The dry shampoo is one of the best sellers, and also just the regular. Ironically enough, the regular oatmeal shampoo emerged as a bestseller. I think people really like the scent. It has an almond oil scent, just a natural almond, sweet almond oil that people have just really, really liked. So we started working on, you know, other products with that same scent. But apparently some people still do give regular baths. I do sometimes, but, you know, it's in the city or, like you said, when you're traveling or camping or, you know, dry shampoos are also, you may have heard of them too for women as well. That's where they're, you know, a lot of women have already heard about them for humans.
Yeah, right.
My wife actually used one when she was pregnant with our first child. She was using dry shampoos quite regularly and took some to the hospital as well when she gave birth.
Yeah, I had heard of that, and that's why it makes a lot of sense, being able to use that for our furry friends too. And I also realized, I read this a while ago, that it's really not a great idea to shampoo your dogs, because they have natural oils, and, you know, obviously you want to keep them smelling and looking fresh, but you shouldn't really overdo it. So, I think what you were mentioning on your oatmeal product. One of the other things I like in there is, for the teeth. What about that product?
For the what?
For their teeth.
Oh, yeah. So we've also done along the lines of just, you know, keeping best friends fresh. We've come out with a, you know, water additive that you can, you know, sort of, you know, easily just squirt in their water bowl, and over time will, you know, keep tartar and and plaque down and keep your breath fresh. You know, it's not really like a breath mint. Dogs don't necessarily love, you know. Well, there's always a dog out there that was always someone out there. My dog loves mint, and they'll prove me wrong. But most dogs don't really like mint, you know, or really, you know, some of the breath freshening things that we as humans like. Yeah, they're probably not going to love an Altoid if you're doing that. So this is sort of lighter and just, you know, easier for them to, they won't even notice it. And it has some of the same technology that you use to purify human drinking water and, you know, in sort of a doggy safe water additive.
Well, it sounds like it's a good companion to, you know, the brushing of teeth, because I know not sometimes that's really hard for people to get the hang of brushing their dog's teeth. And so this sounds like it's kind of a good addition to that regimen.
Yeah, that's always something, isn't it, that you go to the vet and the vet says, hey, your dog needs to get their teeth cleaned. But if we clean them, you know, you got to keep brushing them. And how many of us actually do that?
We're supposed to, right?
We're supposed to, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I like I said, you have a lot of great product on there, and so it kind of came to mind if you had ever introduced a product that didn't do well and that you had to remove it or go back to the drawing board.
Yeah, you know, I think, but interestingly enough, the one that keeps popping to mind is I'm trying to do one for cats, but cats are just, they're harder because they lick themselves and they have a lot of sensitivity, so it's, we keep coming up with one, and then I keep, you know, sending it out to, you know, family and friends who are some of my testers, and they're just like, they're just not sure. And then, you know, maybe, you know, cats are just, maybe this is why I'm more of a dog person. I don't know. Or maybe my personality is more of, you know, Odie than Garfield. I don't know, but it's the cat one's been more challenging than the dog one.
Well, no, I can attest that the cats are different. We have two cats here with our two dogs, and it's pretty entertaining. But I wanted to mention your website, freshdog.com. It has a great look and feel, and it's easy to navigate. But I also really enjoyed your Facebook page, which is facebook.com/myfreshdog. And why do you think you have such a great following on Facebook? You have over 51,000 likes, and that's a pretty respectable number.
Yeah, so I think it's just cute animals. You know, cute animals, all people like. And I didn't want to, you know, I kind of decided I wanted to keep it non-salesy and just about something that just makes people happy. and amazingly, that works. So it's family and friends, cute dogs that or dogs being fresh, you know, in the many ways you can think of or define freshness, and it's really taken off. It's been really fun, and it's just something that makes me happy to, you know, keep maintaining and posting on, and people seem to really respond. And I mean, it's you know, a lot, some of the most liked dogs are like my aunt got a new puppy, and I post them, and people are like, they just can't help but like it.
I know. It is funny. I think we're all suckers for a cute puppy face. So I want to wish you continued success. And thanks so much for taking the time to talk with me today.
Sure. Thank you.
For more information, log on to freshdog.com. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we will hear from Rebecca Corey about her upcoming historic march on Washington, D.C., all in the name of dog. So sit and stay. We'll be right back with more Fido-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio.
Fido-Friendly is the travel and lifestyle magazine for you and your dog. Each issue includes hotel and destination reviews, along with health and wellness topics, dog training tips, and the latest fashion trends. Pick up a copy at Barnes & Noble, Hastings, or go online to FidoFriendly.com and subscribe today. Fido Friendly is the only magazine dedicated to the travel and lifestyle of man's best friend, and the one magazine your dog will thank you for.
Celebrating our connection with our pets. This is Animal Radio.
Welcome back. This is Susan Sims with Phyto-Friendly Travel Talk on Animal Radio. And this segment is brought to you by WineCoastCountry.com, where both you and Phyto can enjoy special hotel packages the entire month of February. I'm really excited to introduce you to our next guest, comedian and pit bull advocate, Rebecca Corey. Rebecca is responsible for the upcoming historic Million Pibble March on Washington, D.C. Hi, Rebecca, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good. I've really been looking forward to this chat. And, you know, I first learned about your dog, Angel, in an interview in Phyto-Friendly magazine a couple of years ago. And can you tell everybody a little bit about how you rescued Angel?
I can, and you'll have to excuse my my voice. I'm a little bit sick, but I can tell you that. I had lost my... I had originally had a Dogo Argentino, and he passed away suddenly at 4 years old from kidney failure. And I, about 3 weeks after his passing, I decided that I would never, ever, ever own a dog again. I would only foster. So I started going on Petfinder, and I read about Angel's story, and I contacted the rescue. And her story is she was found running down the street in South Central Los Angeles with a male pit bull. And he had severe bite wounds, and she had had it was battery acid poured all over her back, and her ears are home cropped. These are done with scissors or razor blades. They're really, really deep. She was, you know, thin and filthy and had wounds, and it appeared to have several little litters of puppies. And they picked them both up, and they brought them to the South Central Animal Shelter, which is a very high-kill shelter here in L.A., and the male dog passed away, and Angel was what they call a leave-alone, and she stayed in the cage alone, and the staff ended up, this amazing woman named Tamika Johnson, fell in love with Angel and nursed her back to health, and then the rescue pulled her, and then she got her, she had to have both of her knees replaced and needed a place to heal where she wasn't being fostered with other dogs because she was, you know, wanting to play, and, so I said, yeah, bring her over. And 3 weeks later, there was a family interested in seeing her. And I was like, I felt immediately sick to my stomach. And I'm like, well, what do you mean? What do you mean they're interested in? They're like, well, yeah, you were going to come pick her up and take her. And I remember watching her walk out of my courtyard that day. And I was just like, this is a nightmare. Like, that's, I hope they're not interested. And sure enough, they were not, because I guess the wife of the family thought she looked scary, and I was like, yes, I win! So I, of course, adopted her, and I've had her now for 5.5 years, and she's absolutely 100% the most amazing thing that's ever happened in my life. No question.
Yeah, well, you're what they call a foster failure.
oh, I know.
I remember you told me that you bring Angel everywhere with you, including to your stand-up for Pitt's performances across the country. Tell us about that.
Oh, well, I mean, I do. I take Angel. We fly all over the country. She's been in the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean. I think she prefers the Atlantic. That doesn't make sense. But stand-up for Pitt's is a live event that I do around the country, and in 3.5 years it's spawned from 2 cities to 7 cities, which is fantastic. And it's basically, I usually have, you know, a cool video or two to play, and then I have usually a great music act, and then I have unbelievable stand-up comedians. And it's a dog adoption from 4 to 7, a pit bull adoption, and then there's a silent auction that starts at 5, and then Angel's always in the kissing booth in every single city. And then people line up, man. I mean, they line up around the building to get a kiss from Angel. And I'll walk in and be like, oh, hey, guys. And everyone's like, yeah, okay, who cares? It's Angel we want to see. And yeah, and the shows, not one has, they've all sold out in every single city. And sometimes they'll sell out. Like this year, the L.A. one sold out 2 weeks before. Salt Lake City sold out 2 weeks before. I mean, they just, they people just love them because it's such a fun night. And lots of money is raised, and a lot of pits get adopted from the adoption event. It's a very cool It's a very cool thing. I'm very, very proud of it. And, of course, Angel's the inspiration for all of it. So now this year we've added Dallas, Indianapolis, and New York City. Those are the new cities this year. So the New York City one is April 23rd of this year. So I'm super excited about that. That'll be at Gotham Comedy Club in Manhattan. So, yeah, they're fantastic. They're the best. If there's one in your city, you have to come.
Yeah, they can go on your website. It's standupforpits.usa, isn't that correct?
It's standupforpits.us.
U.S., and then they can look at your schedule. But I want to fast forward to the day you were in front of the White House and you took a photo of Angel, and you got to tell everybody about that day and how that inspired you to launch the Million Pibble March, which is P-I-B-B-L-E, which is adorable, the Million Pibble March on Washington, D.C., and that's going to take place on May 3rd. So how did you do that?
Okay, well, I went to D.C. to do a stand-up for Pitt, and I actually do it in Arlington, Virginia at the Arlington Draft House, and I went there to do the event, and I said to my friend, you know, I would love, really, never been to Washington, D.C. It's only like 6 miles away from the Draft House, and I was like, you know, I would love to see the White House. So, of course, Angel's never without Angel, so she's, of course, with me, and so we go to the White House, and I decide to, in the car there, I was like, you know, I think I'm gonna put a sign, like write something and send a message to people, like on Facebook or something, you know, just take a picture, because I take pictures of Angel, like, nonstop. And they're always usually pretty funny. And so I actually had it, you know, I said, do you have a Sharpie? He's like, yeah, and I had this, like, poster, this piece of paper, and I wrote, Mr. President, be our voice. And he happened to have a piece of tape. So I wrote it with a Sharpie, and we walked to the White House, and I sat her in front of it, took off the leash, and I taped that thing to her chin. And Angel's super, super obedient. She just sat there and looking so adorable with this hilarious, it's not hilarious, but it's kind of lit. It's kind of taped to her chin. And people, I started snapping pictures of her with my iPhone, and I turn around, and there's a crowd of people from all over the world that are snapping photos of me, snapping photos of her, and snapping photos just of her. Like, it impacted them, you know? Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I don't know if they could read the sign or not. I don't know exactly where they were from, but they certainly weren't from America. But when I left that day, I thought it was, I also posted it on Facebook, and the response to it was unbelievable, and it was a very impactful moment, and I thought, why has no one ever marched on Washington, D.C.? And I just kept thinking about it and thinking about it, and that night, I performed, I did Stand Up for Pitts, and, or maybe it was the day after, whatever, and, after Stand Up for Pitts, I was on stage and was sold out, packed. And I said to the audience, thank you so much. It was such an amazing, amazing, amazing night. And I said, thank you all so, so much. And then I said, and next year, we're marching on Washington, D.C. on behalf of Pitbull. So we're gonna end, you know, discrimination and abuse. And people went insane. The whole audience, like, just jumped to its feet and were screaming, and I was like, oh my word, this is serious, like, people want this. And it just so happened 2 days later, the Huffington Post contacted me and said, hi, we were in the audience of your show, and we want to interview you about your announcement to march on Washington. So May 16th of 2013, the Huffington Post announced my plan to march on Washington. And then it began, and it has been 8 months, almost, you know, over 8 months. It's been a huge journey. It's almost been 9 months since that announcement now at the end of January. And it's been an incredible, insane journey, a huge amount of work. I've never done a march on Washington, and it turns out, Susan, it's very, very, very difficult, and it's very complicated, and it's very involved and extensive, and it's a big deal. So I've I just learned as I went, and the support has been amazing.
Well, it's totally grassroots. It's a totally grassroots effort. That's one of the things I was so drawn to, that you are doing this and you're doing all this work yourself, and you're fundraising for this. And one of the things I wanted to touch upon was this great t-shirt you're using for fundraising. So, it's really, really beautiful, but it helps you with this cause. So tell us about the t-shirt and where people can get it.
Well, the t-shirt I wanted to make t-shirts because I knew that I've never fundraised before. You know, I did a few little things for my dogs, you know, like when I needed to get them a surgery or whatever, but never, you know, stand up for kids. You know, I never made a dollar. I've never still made a dollar on that show because I just recently became a nonprofit. I'm just recently filled out the last part of the application to get my 501. Status. So I would just perform at Stand Up for Pits and produce them all and just give the money that the venue would just write a check directly to the rescues who were benefiting. So I didn't really know anything. So I knew, I'm going to have to do something here. I'm going to have to offer something, a way to raise funds. And so I designed this t-shirt with a really sweet friend of mine who has a great t-shirt, little tiny t-shirt company. It's just himself. And he came over one day with his computer, and I said I wanted it, you know, to be soft, and I wanted it to be a shirt that people would wear and, like, be proud to wear it and want to be comfortable in it. And I wanted it to be, you know, cute, and also I wanted it to inspire conversation. I wanted it to be an icebreaker, and I didn't want it to be obnoxious. And I just had all these, like, you know, I like to stress, like, looking clothes, whatever, so I designed it. And then I realized, you know, this is a really, when they came back, I was like, these are fantastic. They turned out great. And now, you know, we've been selling those for months now. And those have, like, single-handedly raised. I mean, we're desperately below the funds that we need at this time. But those, without those t-shirts, I'm not sure where we would be, because they have really, and 100% of the proceeds after cost go directly to the march. So whatever the t-shirt costs to make, I think it's $11.50 or something, the rest goes to the march, and they have been godsend. And those t-shirts, people love them. They have them, all people are getting them from all over the world now. It's England, Germany, Canada. It's been really cool. It's very, very cool. And then February 1st, we're releasing a sweatshirt, and the sweatshirts are, they're super paper thin and soft and gray, and just like the shirt, but in a sweatshirt form. They're great. So we're excited about that.
Oh, well, so now that leads to the next question, is what website can we visit if we want to donate or purchase the t-shirt or the sweatshirt so we can all help the cause?
Well, it's all on standupforpits.us. Everything you could want to know, any way that you could donate, it's all there. The GoFundMe link is there. The t-shirt link is there. You can just donate straight to the Stand Up for Pits Foundation. It's all right there. So just go to standupforpits.us, and you'll see the t-shirt. It's on the front page. So, yeah, they're great. You got yours, right?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I love it. It's everything you said and more. I mean, it's super soft. And I just wanted to ask you one last question. What do you want everyone to know about the pit bull breed, and why is it important to you to be their voice?
Well, you know, the bottom line is that, I have such a long-winded answer for that, but I'll try to make it short. So I guess, you know, look, I believe discrimination against anything, any living thing, is wrong. First and foremost, you know, discriminating against a religion, a race, a breed, it's wrong. It's, you know, discrimination enshrined in law, which is breed-specific legislation, is wrong, and it should not be tolerated. It goes against everything this country was founded on. You know, it's just really, it really, really is disgusting that it exists in this country, especially at this level. And what I want people to know about the breed is that they're amazing. And they're lovely and loyal and kind and fuzzy and warm and sweet and lap dogs. And they want to love you. And it's really, you know, the average age dog fighter, you know, is like 13 to 21 years old, sadly, in this country. And there's a lot of broken young people out there using those exact qualities, the loyalty and the strength and the love that these dogs have, and forcing them to fight, which is torture and abuse. And I see it as not only an ethical treatment of animals issue, but I see it also as a very, very huge social issue. And, you know, we need to start taking it very, very serious, because what a young man is doing to a dog today will likely, and most oftentimes does, become a child in later years, or a person, or you and me. Like, these people go on to commit crimes against humanity. So people need to, all people, dog people, people that don't own dogs, people that like pits or don't like pits, whatever. I'm not asking you to. What I'm asking you to do is understand that what's being done to them is a direct reflection of our society, and that it's all fixable. So don't, you know, banning a breed and killing the victim is not a solution. And I think we should just all be committed to working together to end this, because I know for a fact it's fixable. Programs provided, you know.
Well, that was one of the things, too, because at that march, it's not just people coming together on the day. You're going to have education programs so that it really will be more than, hey, we're standing up for this, and this is why, but here are reasons and here are tools to help the community that you live in to fight against this.
Yeah, I mean, we live in a day and age, Susan, where it's like, you know, I mean, we have cameras in our hands at all times as phones, and we can expose people and bring light to things, and we can start petitions online, and we can reach thousands of people, and we can be effective. We can do everything we want. We have that power. That's the luxury of being an American and living in a first world country with the privileges that we have. We have a lot more power than we think, and there's power in numbers, and that's why I'm always saying, you know, let's band together. Your agendas aside, put your greed aside, put your, you know, merchandise, whatever you're doing, put that aside for the cause. And the cause is to end this. And I truly know for a fact it can end. I mean, 6 million, I think the last statistic I read was like 6 million dogs die in shelters every year in America. Why can't we lower that number next year to 3 million, then the following year lower it to 1 million until, in my lifetime, in your lifetime, there's none. Why? We can. So,
well, I think you're making
work together.
Yeah. No, I think you're making an important, like we said, it's historic, what you're doing. And come May 3rd, I think it's going to be very impactful. And I just want to applaud you and wish you continued success with Stand Up for Pits, and best wishes for your million Pibble March on Washington, D.C. And thanks
Thank
so much
so
for
much.
Taking time to talk with me today.
Thank you.
For more information, log on to standupforpits.us. And that's it for Fido Friendly Travel Talk. For more information about today's show or about traveling with Fido, subscribe to Fido Friendly Magazine or visit our website at FidoFriendly.com. Until next time, travel safe and leave no dog behind.
You're listening to Animal Radio. You can learn more about today's guest at AnimalRadio.com. Log on. Learn more.
This is Animal Radio Network.